go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. Tom, are you ready for the highly publicized snow event?
I wonder how many snowmen are going to be made, or snow angels made in the snow.
It's an overnight event. We could wake up to some of the white stuff tomorrow, up to 3 inches. Places up in Oracle could get 6.
Well, apparently the most likely snow that we're going to get is going to be overnight Thursday night.
Thursday night?
According to the forecast.
Whoa. Well, maybe. Anyway, it is coming, right?
Yes, sir.
So, the windy weather will begin this afternoon, and then snow showers early tomorrow morning.
Yep. And then... Well, let's see.
Yeah,
you're probably more right than I am
on this. Yeah, it's going to clear out, and then we'll have a very cold night. Probably need to cover everything again on tomorrow night.
Thursday night is going to be pretty cold, apparently.
All right, it is the Buckmaster Show. We're in year 13 with the program. Broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station that we come to you on is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening, not only at KVOI.com, but BuckmasterShow.com. That is also the place for pretty much every show we've done over the past 12 years. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman, Democrat, representing Ward Number 6, Steve Kasachek. Councilman Kasachek, how is your day going so far?
So far, so good, and I am looking forward to the snow event. We had actually had one about a week ago.
Yeah.
I only remember because I run every morning and was hit with a combination of rain, hail, and snow, and the worst part of it was the wind. It was just blowing me all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You know,
up at home with some snowballs to throw at my wife in the house.
You've been here in town, I think, about as long as I have. I came in 88. This is one of the most unsettled winters I can recall. How about you?
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty amazing. You know, we're kind of buffeted around from, it's going to be 70 degrees in a couple of days for the book festival, and tomorrow night or tonight it's going to be snowing. So kind of reminds me of some of the Colorado weather that they get. Is it, you know, that when they say, you know, if it's not snowing today, just wait for tomorrow because it might be. So it's pretty amazing, you know, what we're going through, and it's not just us. You know, you look at the West Coast, you know, L.A. has had snow alerts for the last week and flooding in the East Coast. It's, you know, the whole weather patterns are palpably changing and with some pretty dire outcomes for lots of people in lots of parts of this country.
As we used to say in my hometown of Chicago and Chicagoland, 4 seasons in one day, Steve.
Yeah. I can relate. We grew up in Michigan, same thing.
All right. Once again, here the legislature underway, and again, Tucson is in the crosshairs. The charge is being led by State Senator Justine Wodzak, a Republican from Tucson. She's not at all happy with the way the Tucson system of electing council members, so she's trying to get the whole city charter thing removed, and the latest thinking is that the two targets would be the two largest cities, Tucson and Phoenix. Some of your thoughts on this latest attack?
Well, so Justine Wodzak is trying to jury-rig a process by which the Republicans could get a one or maybe two seats on the city council by throwing out our charter, which, by the way, was voted on by the voters and approved over 100 years ago. We've had a charter for that long, for over a century. It is our governing document. It is approved by the voters. We have amended it several times. It has to go to the voters to be amended. And every time we have brought this ward-only election to the voters, they have rejected it. And I agree with rejecting it. It would certainly make the life easier of people who are running for city council if it was ward only, because you would only have to focus on a particular area of town to do your campaigning and all of that. But the reality is, and this is what Justine doesn't evidently understand, is that the way we govern is really reflected in the way our vote, our election process works. And what I mean by that is that we run for office in the primary to on a ward-only basis, and that means that the representatives of Ward 6 have a chance to either support or reject me during the primary to be their representative on the city council. However, when we run for the general election, everybody in the city has a right to vote for council members, irrespective of where they live. The reason that makes sense is because the decisions that we make at the council affect everybody in the city. You know, we're making very significant water security decisions. That's not going to affect just Ward 6. It affects everybody in the city, in the region. We're having very significant discussions about the RTA, for instance, the our participation in the RTA. That is absolutely not simply a Ward 6 conversation. Everybody in the city is affected by it. And I could go on and on. The vast majority of the topics that we talk about have region-wide implications. And so people who live out on the east side in Wards 2 and 4 and people on the west side in Ward 1, they have just as much a stake in who is representing them from Ward 6 as my constituents do and who's representing them in from Ward 1 because of the nature of the decisions we make. Now, she would have a point if the only things we were voting on were things such as neighborhood issues that are specific to a particular ward. But we don't. And so I think she's fundamentally wrong in her analysis, if I can maybe give her the credit for having analyzed it, and I'm not sure she has. But what she is really failing to see is that this is she's trying to fix a small problem in the city of Tucson. And I have a solution for her in a second, but a small problem in the city of Tucson by doing away with 18 other charters throughout the state. So it's kind of taken a broad brush to paint just a nickel-sized mar on a wall. If the Republican Party wants to elect people this citywide, then run good candidates. And frankly, they did back in 2009. I was a Republican. I was elected as a Republican. I've since changed parties because that party has left me a long time ago. But that would be the solution to winning a general election in the city of Tucson. Find some good candidates and put them on the ballot. We haven't seen that lately, and we've got an election coming up in November, and I guess we'll see if they have found somebody this time around.
So this bid that she had originally, it was to kill the 19 charter cities. That failed, by the way, in the legislature. So now she's going to rework it so there'll be a population cutoff, like a 500,000 something, looking at using 500,000 as the dividing line. And, of course, that would be two cities, Tucson
well,
and Phoenix.
And the goal is her goal is the same. And she's, you know, I mean, she's not a person who can, you know, make sweet tea without sugar. In this case, she's trying to force feed a solution. The solution is run good candidates, and that's the message. You know, we've had this charter in place for over 100 years, and if they want to amend it, then we've already spoken at the council here within the last month about forming another commission, as we did, 5 or 6 years ago when we brought some changes to the voters, all of which were approved to the city charter. And we're talking about doing it again, making
All right.
some more changes to the charter.
All right, let me bring up another topic before we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. We have an election, a special election. It concerns Tucson Electric Power and these giant, I call them the giant sequoia trees of the power poles. I think that's what the election is about. Am I wrong there? What is this? What's your take?
Okay, so the election is to renew their franchise agreement.
Okay.
That has to happen anyway by 2026, I believe. It's 26 or 27. The reason it's coming up now is you're correct. The catalyst for that was the conversation or the plan that they had about running overground distribution lines for transmission lines. I mean, for their power down some of our scenic corridors and our gateway corridors, and those are by ordinance. They require undergrounding of new utilities. So a year or so ago, maybe longer than that, I threw a flag and said, no, our ordinances have meaning. And if you are going to run these transmission lines down these corridors, then our ordinance requires them to be undergrounded. That began a conversation, the culmination of which there are actually two pieces to it. Number one is that we have adopted what's called a special exception process through which TEP can request a variance from our ordinance for certain segments of the corridor, so we would allow them to go overground. And quite frankly, Bill, there are segments of our gateway corridor where it does make sense for them to go overground. Mm-hmm. For instance, why would we tell them you have to put your transmission lines under the railroad tracks at Union Pacific or something like that?
Right.
So there are areas that it does make sense. However, running right down, for instance, Campbell Avenue, that's not where these things belong. So the second element of I mentioned there are two outcomes of the conversation. The first one was the special exception. The second one now is the franchise agreement. And incorporated in the franchise agreement is a funding source that TEP would set aside to use for undergrounding utilities. And so that's really the primary change that exists in the franchise agreement. It would be 0.75 of a percent that would generate $4 to $6 million extra dollars a year, specifically earmarked for undergrounding. Mm. So that's coming in May 17th, and it would extend their right to be the utility in Tucson, non-exclusive, but to be use our rights of way for running their lines for another 20 years.
Steve, we could all use some comfort food, couldn't we, right now?
Absolutely.
Well,
know where this is going.
You do indeed. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. It's home of the Danish Kringle. Steve and the team, they've been so busy on the weekends, and my advice is please get there early for the best selection. Steve opens the doors Tuesday through Saturday at 6:30 and then Sunday at 7 o'clock in the morning. And the word is out about Mona's. Find out what all the excitement about. See why all your friends and neighbors are going up there. Well, they're going up there because they want a beautiful pastry. They can deliver that. And they do deliver it 6 days a week. They do take Monday off now. Well deserved. Their website looks really good. It's been redeveloped. All new pictures of all the menu items, monasdanishbakery.com. Our conversation with Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Ward 6, continues after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This little, well, it's not so little. It's going to be quite a rain, especially a snow event in the mountains. We may get some snow here in the next 24 hours in the valley. But after that, the weather looks like things are going to stabilize. And looking ahead to the weekend, looks beautiful. Mid-70s, perfect time of year. Now, to as we are into March with officially spring right around St. Patrick's Day in a couple of weeks. So this is a great time to get over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. This is a locally owned business, Jan and Jack. They do such a fabulous job. Their 13-acre site is beautiful. And the addition of Zocalo Village a couple of years ago with the wonderful merchandise from Mexico, it's a great addition. Here are a couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Lots of information on those sites. By the way, they're in their 53rd year of business. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back to the live line. Steve Kasachek, the Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman, with us on the live line. What are you hearing about the first 2 months of our primetime tourism season? We've had our gem show. We've had the rodeo, and we've got the golf tournament coming up. But are you hearing that things are pretty good this year, Steve?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the every one of the reports that I read that comes from Visit Tucson indicates that the hotel occupancy rates and both the rates, the number of people coming, and also the rates that they charge are pretty much mirroring what was pre-COVID. So they're if they haven't fully recovered, they are nearly recovered. The participation, the attendance for all these events has been everything that we could expect. I know that some of the gem show participants, some of the shows went away. But that only gave the opportunity for some of the existing shows to expand, and so there was really no loss in terms of the amount of opportunities that people had to participate. The participants in the upcoming golf tournament are some of the top 10 in the world. Some of the participants there. We have the book festival coming up on campus. They're going to wind up. In the eye of the storm, the perfect weather for the book festival, and again, that's one of the major attractions internationally. I know that we've got friends flying in from the Midwest to participate as authors in the book show. So this is not just a, hey, come and pick up your local paperback book. This is a major deal, and kudos to the Arizona Daily Star for continuing their support of it and bringing this to the U of A campus. It's a big deal. But direct answer to your question is, yeah, things are improving. And I will say this also, sort of tangentially, is that we have conversations going on with Visit Tucson. I'm involved in a relatively small group of people who are working with Peter from the Visit Tucson Film Office and Felipe down there, their new director, in incentivizing films, getting the film industry back up and running. And there are lots of independents here right now. We had an HBO series here last year, and the film office continues to attract, lots of business here in Tucson. So, yeah, it's that one of the great things about that is that it touches so many different sectors of the economy. You know, you were asking about how are some of these other events doing? When you're talking about the film industry, they affect rental cars, they affect rental rooms, they affect catering, they affect the local hiring. And so it's a clean industry that this region deserves, and that's coming back as well. So lots of good happening in terms of the economy, not just for the city of Tucson, but regionally as well.
I'm glad they went with Felipe Garcia. He'd been with the organization Visit Tucson. They went internal. He became the top guy, and Felipe would be my Friday Focus interview 1 week from this Friday. This Friday, we've got my friend, well-known author Tom Zollner, talking about the book festival, and it's amazing because I remember 14 years ago when the whole thing started, and I was over at AZPM at the time, and they were kind of instrumental in getting the thing kicked off. People were wondering at that time, is anybody still going to even read books? They thought it would all be over the internet, you know? So people still read.
Well, absolutely. And as far as Felipe is concerned, he is one of the guys who can make sweet tea without sugar. He is an absolute home run, and I'm so glad that he's sitting in that seat right now. He brings so much to the position, and just love the work that he's doing, and both locally, regionally, and internationally. And yeah, the book festival is running on all cylinders, and they will literally have thousands of people down there sitting through all kinds of readings and presentations by authors. It's really a great event for the city.
Coming up Monday, we no longer do our Monday political face-off. We're doing something called the Monday One-on-One, and Sharon McDonough, the 911 director, is going to sit down with me for a half hour to talk about the changes there. And those positive changes have had an impact, haven't they, Steve?
Yeah, Sharon is doing an excellent job down at the Comm Center. They have had a rough go of it for the last probably 4 years ish.
Mm-hmm.
Setting aside COVID, they've gone through some major reconstruction down there, and literally reconstruction. They've remodeled and upgraded the facilities, and they're going on a hiring binge. There's still a lot of vacancies, but it's an entirely reworked 911 center, and we're also in the process of standing up a 311 system so that some of the calls that are not of an emergency nature can be diverted by the call taker to the appropriate location to free up some of the time for the emergency calls. But Sharon's done a really good job of reestablishing the morale, which was kind of in a bad situation after, I want to say, 10 years ago when we had some real issues down there. And frankly, I got involved in that with a former city manager. And there was a young girl who lost her life up in the Northwest Side as a result of system problems. And I will have to say, as a result of a caller error as well. But we're in a whole new situation now. Got a new system. Got some great rapport and morale in the employees, and Sharon and her team are doing an excellent job. She'll give you a good interview, and she'll have a good story to tell.
How is that cabinet that Mike has put together, Ortega? It seems like it's a real group, very competent group of people.
I think we have one of the best sets of department heads right now that we have had since I started doing this in 2009. He's recruited people both internally. Witness Chad Kazmar, Chief of Police, and Sam Cradio, the Department of Transportation. But he's also brought people in from outside to bring some new blood and new thought. And we've got Barb Coffey running our Economics Initiatives Office, and Carlos De La Torre running our Environmental Services Department. So we've got some really quality people. And, you know, frankly, the last 3 years through COVID has been a tough go to try and keep all systems heading in the right direction. And Mike and his team and the mayor and council have really, I think we've done a good job of keeping us up on all fours.
Okay, Steve Kasachek, we will let you go. I've got a few quick seconds. The plastic program, the bin is still there or what?
Absolutely. We've now gathered over 53 tons, and I'm hoping later today I will see a final draft of a document that will be the final deal with Bifusion to move them to Tucson, locate their operation here, so that we'll be actually constructing the blocks here for local markets.
Very good. Covered a lot of ground. Appreciate the time. Thank you, Steve Kasachek.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Karen Caesar is in the house. We're going to talk water. With Karen, our water quarterly report is right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Once a quarter here on the show, we focus on Arizona's most important resource. That's my most important resource. Some may disagree with me, but I think it's water, especially in light of what's been going on. Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future, joining us on the show for her quarterly visit to the program, Karen Caesar, Pima County Representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, always a pleasure.
Always good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
So we're into 2023. I understand there's some changes on the CAPCB board.
Yes. Last time, your listeners will recall, I shared the news about our new board members who've joined us from Maricopa County. And also, as you know, there are four members from Pima County. And this is sad, but regretfully, we've had a change to our Pima County contingent. At the beginning of the year, Marie Perthree had tendered her resignation due to health reasons. And sadly, we lost her last week.
Oh, I did not know that. That's bad news. I'm so sorry to hear about Marie.
Thank you. Those of you that know her, we are all incredibly saddened by this news, and I hate to have to share this, you know, at the beginning and with your listeners. But Marie had a long history with CAP because she also worked there for many years before she became a board member 2 years ago. Prior to that, she worked at Tucson Water. So
yeah,
I think,
that's where I knew the name from.
Yes.
When David Modier was the director back in the Tucson Water days.
Very much so. And she was very important and influential in water issues in Tucson. And I'm sure that many people know her. And we miss her greatly and do extend our thoughts and prayers to her family at this very difficult time.
So the governor now makes the decision on the replacement?
Yes. The way it works on our board, because we're elected, if there are unexpected midterm vacancies, the governor makes the appointment to fill out the remaining term, which will be four more years at this point in time. And this also came, her resignation coincided obviously with our new governor taking office. So as of now, no appointment has been made, but we are awaiting news on that front. So next time when I know, I will let you know.
Okay. Meanwhile, there'll be new board members coming on election for new board members.
Well, and board officers. So after every two-year cycle, when we have five new seats are elected to the board, then the board proceeds to elect our board leadership. And at this time, Terry Goddard, who was our president, will continue to go forward and serve as president. Alexander Arboleda has replaced Pima County's Mark Taylor, who was serving as vice president. And I am pleased to let you know that I am now serving as board secretary.
Very cool. You're stepping up, will be the board secretary. So congratulations on that. What does that entail?
Well, as secretary, one of the duties is I am chairing the CAGRD and Underground Storage Committee. Previously, I was our public policy chair. I had the opportunity to do that, and I really enjoyed leading that committee. So I'm definitely looking forward to serving the board and Arizonans in this role.
And again, the acronym, that's Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District. So what's that entail?
You got it. It's all the acronyms when it comes to water. The CAGRD and Underground Storage Committee addresses issues, policy, proposed legislation amendments related to the Groundwater Replenishment District, as well as our underground storage and recovery activities. So it's a very important function of CAP. The CAGRD itself was created in the mid-90s to help water providers and landowners comply with Arizona groundwater laws. So the CAGRD plays a very important role in groundwater management by acquiring water supplies and replenishing them to offset water pumped by our members.
So it's involved certainly with the CAP in the three county service area, right?
Right. It's sometimes confusing. The CAGRD is a special function. It is the same three county service area as the CAP, which of course includes Pima County. And it would be, you know, it's good to know that within Pima County alone, we have 107 subdivisions and nine cities and towns and private water companies that are CAGRD members. So membership in the CAGRD is voluntary, but it plays an important role in groundwater management and also, as I said, complying with the Arizona groundwater management laws.
So it is governed by the Central Arizona Water Conservation district of which you serve.
Correct. It's not a separate, it's not like a sole and separate thing. It's a separate function. It's definitely separated financially, so it's separate from our CAP, but the 15-member board ultimately is the governs the activities of the CAGRD as well.
And if you want to figure out if you're part of that, where would you find that information?
We have a great website, and we've just actually updated and made it even easier to find out. And I encourage everybody to go on there. And if you go to the centralarizonaproject.com, look for CAGRD in your upper right-hand corner. Scroll down till you see a member locator, and then you can put your address in, and it will tell you if you, as a homeowner, are in or a member of the CAGRD or not. People might be surprised. People can be a member and pay through their property taxes, their annual dues, or sometimes if you belong to a member service area, you may pay your dues just as part of your water bill. So I encourage everybody to, check that out.
All right. The big news, it's been in the news pretty much every day, what's going on with the Colorado River Basin. What's your take on it, Karen Caesar?
Well, that is the big news. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm here, there's new news. It's a very active time on the Colorado River when it comes to our water and what is happening.
Any good news?
Yes. And the good news is, again, just as we are looking forward to hopefully some snow here in Tucson tomorrow morning, the snowpack across the Rockies this year has been very good. And so that does help out. But again, one good winter, I've said this, is not going to fix our declining conditions. We would need 8 or 9, 7. We would need multiple back-to-back-to-back years of conditions like this to really help the situation we're in. But we'll take what we can get. And so we are still working as hard as ever to find solutions for the entire basin.
Can you sort out this whole six-state letter that was sent to the Bureau of Reclamation?
No, I can't sort it. It's very confusing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is going on is, and it's been a lot in the news, is I'm going to try to weave this through. Mm-hmm. The Bureau of Reclamation is doing a supplemental environmental impact statement, and they had requested all seven states to come together and say, "What give us a scenario to model in our environmental impact statement." Six states got together and were able to propose a consensus-based model that was transmitted to the Bureau of Reclamation in response to their request. So all this is going to go into a public scoping process, and all this supplements the 2007 interim guidelines that were modified by the drought contingency plan. Charts and graphs don't even begin to, sort your way through. But what's important is this supplemental environmental impact statement is needed because there's going to be modifications to how Glen Canyon and Hoover Dam operate. So it requires this supplemental environmental impact statement. And the revisions are important because that's going to ensure that water will continue to be delivered through these very important infrastructure facilities. So, everybody that depends on the Colorado River is going to, mm-hmm. be impacted by this.
Okay, you said six states. There are seven, right?
Correct. Yes.
So California, the outlier?
California is the outlier. Lots of discussions, lots of very intense discussions and meetings. I know that CAP staff and other basin staff and other Arizona Department of Water Resources were meeting very, very regularly to try to come up with something to proposed to the Bureau of Reclamation, and California did not ultimately sign on to the six-state letter, so they have also their proposal before the Bureau as well. And at this point in time, I think we're awaiting the results of this, the modeling, but we have not seen, and as of today, I don't think we know exactly what the Bureau is going to, if they're going to use the six state recommendation, the California recommendation, something in the middle. It's actually unclear at this moment.
Do you want to quickly give us what that, there is kind of an alternative, right? the consensus-based modeling alternative, which is a mouthful.
Right, right. It is complicated. I think the high level message on this is the consensus-based alternative really looks at conditions today, not only on the river, but in the states that are part of the six states, what the population, you know, population needs of the system, health, safety, you know, it brings a lot of things into play. And that's a kind of part and parcel of the six state consensus letter. And so, you know,
hopefully we'll know a lot more the next time I see you in about 3 months.
We should. I think we're anticipating results coming out. I think it's mm-hmm. you know, sometime in April or early May. So that we'll know a whole lot more then.
Anything else quickly running out of time here that you'd like to bring up?
Not, I guess, really quick, just mm-hmm, going sure. to take a totally different tact. Mm-hmm. You know, in January, we made the 30th payment on the CAP. I mean, again, the Central Arizona Water Conservation District was formed to ensure that Arizona can pay back the federal government for building the canal. So had we been a house and with a 30-year mortgage, we would be paying it off. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. But we still have 22 more payments remaining on the canal. So, right. So there's still, it's a big number. And here's the kicker. Once we pay this off or mm-hmm. pay the federal government back, it's not as if we're going to own the canal. It will still remain a federal facility, but the Central Arizona Water Conservation District is the entity by an elected board that is, you know, been charged with all the, you know, the funding and the operations of maintenance of it. So that's part and parcel of why we exist. And it's good to know that we made a, I'm trying to think of what we made. We made a $58 million payment this year, and 70% of that was principal. So we're getting there.
Total obligation, $1.6 billion.
That's all.
With a B. There you go.
Right, right.
Okay. You want to direct people to the website?
Always. KnowYourWaterNews.com for news on, sign up for that. There's a lot of good information there, and that's really the place to find, you know, up to the minute what's happening in the, you know, the reservoirs and the Colorado River and any new news. So I encourage everybody to sign up for that.
Karen Caesar, always a pleasure. We'll see you in summer. Thank you.
It'll be warm then. Thank you,
yes.
Bill. Okay, take
All
care.
All right, we'll take a break right here. More on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona.
all made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
And it's back to the Buckmaster Show. Start your planning now for a spring getaway to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of great activities, a lot of outdoor activities, as well as some good indoor as well, like the wonderful Mimbres Pottery Collection at the University over in Silver City. Silver City, their website, southwestnewmexico.org. This weekend is the 14th annual Tucson Festival of Books. Among the hundreds of writers descending on the UA Mall will be writer-historian William Kalt III, whose previous books include a look at the early Arizona aviation scene titled High in Desert Skies. And he's also had a book on Tucson's Wondrous Railroad Station downtown. William is out with a new book titled America's 1890s Parachute Queen, Pioneer Skydiving Sensation, Miss Hazel Keys. William joins us now on the live line from Tombstone, where he's taking part in the first ever Tombstone Book Festival. William, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. Tell me a little bit about this whole idea of this woman who parachuted out of a balloon. I would think that in the 1890s, the parachute had kind of just been invented, or was it a little bit earlier?
A little bit earlier. In 1885, Captain Thomas Baldwin parachuted for the first time of record, anyway, in the United States in San Francisco. And so this is one of the crazy, you know, I've been researching for 30 years now on different history, Tucson, Arizona, and the West. And this is the craziest story I have found. This woman took parachute lessons just 3 years after Baldwin made the first jump. So she was a pioneer in the sky, so to speak.
How did it work? What was the setup? How did the whole thing come about?
Well, basically, workers dug a trench to a from a furnace to a flue that then the balloon was attached to. The balloon was attached to the top. The furnace would heat air and force it down this trench and up into the balloon, and it would fill. By the time it was full, sometimes up to 20 strong men were holding it back. The wind pushed it, and it was ready to fly. And then Miss Hazel would sit either in a basket on a trapeze bar or just hang on and yell, "All let go," and whoosh, off she'd go up into the skies.
What kind of altitude would she jump at?
Well, she claimed that in one jump, machine, as she called it, measured her at 2.5 miles. Generally, it was more like a couple thousand feet that she would fly to. But dangerous profession. 1 year, 26 parachuters died in just a 28-year season. And so somehow Miss Hazel managed to survive for more than a decade in this extremely dangerous job, and she took up flying, Bill, with a pet monkey, and she'd send the monkey off in its own parachute. You know, as the audience has clamored for more and more excitement, she kept adding to her act. She, at one point, parachuted with a black bear, sent him off in his own parachute, but the monkey was the highlight.
So this was kind of, I guess you could call it, America's cavalcade of craziness.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, and she made good money. You know, for as daring as it was, she would make up to $300, which was back then like $4,000 or $5,000 in terms of $2,023. And so she made some good money, but she really gained. She was parachuting in Safford, Prescott, Phoenix, but she really gained national fame when she slammed into a rigging of a ship up in Sausalito and hung upside down there until the sailors were up and able to grab her. And that made national news. But she lay outside the Salt River there for 3 hours unconscious before they found her on one flight. And
oh, my goodness.
She was dragged across a picket fence and another banging across her chest several times, saying that no serious injuries were expected, which seemed to be the label of the day, even though she was unconscious for sometimes, you know, several hours.
Well, I'd never heard of this parachute jumping from balloons until your book. So how did you hear about it?
Well, you know, when I was writing that aviation book, I came across Miss Hazel, and just like unwinding a ball of string or something, I kept finding story after story about this woman and the crazy thing she did. I put down the aviation book for a year and turned my attention to this story.
Wow.
Because it was so fascinating.
What happened to her? What happened to this woman, Miss Hazel?
You know, she retired and lived in Prescott for a while and then moved back to L.A. where she had been born. And she actually gained fame again as the Sandlot Queen of Los Angeles and made a fortune over there. She received money from people that took sand out of the Los Angeles river bottom there where she had her land. And then she realized, oh, I can fill those holes up with tin cans. So she started charging people to use the holes made in the sand for their dumping of the tin cans. And as a result, became quite wealthy.
Mm.
Yeah, but she had a tumultuous love affair with her second husband that endured after they got divorced, and they ended up living together until she died in 1940 at almost 80 years old.
Wow! After that. Yeah, after that daredevil career, she lived and died at 80 years old. That's amazing. So are you going to be at the book fair and people can get the book and all of your books there?
Yes, uh-huh. And I'll be working with the Southern Arizona Transportation. I'll be in their booth.
Okay.
And selling all three of the books, as a matter of fact.
And you're in Tombstone. A quick shout out, they're trying to do their own little festival, correct?
Yes, they are. And unfortunately, my vehicle crashed on me. I wasn't able to go this morning.
What? Oh, but so you're not in Tombstone. You're still
I'm
in,
not
Tombstone.
In Tombstone. I had to stay here today, darn it. But yeah, that's an exciting thing that Tombstone is getting their own book festival going. And I know they've got some wonderful authors down there. Jan Clear here from Tucson.
Yep. Well,
and several others. So,
okay, William, we're going to have to run. The book is also available, I guess, on Amazon, correct?
Yes, on Amazon at both Barnes & Noble's here in Tucson and at Mostly Books.
All right. And I'll give the title.
I'll just quickly mention, Bill, is the Silver Spike Jubilee will go on down at the depot on March 18th, where we celebrate the first train's arrival here in Tucson, and we're asking folks to dress up and come on down in old-time attire and party with us like it's 1880.
There you go. America's 1890s parachute queen, William Gault, thank you very much for being with us. And that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.